say ah. It's time for Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Specializing in periodontics, implants, and regenerative techniques, Dr. Edelstein's practice is Atlanta's premier periodontal office, where dentistry is both an art and a science. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com. And now, Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. The show is Open Wide, and we're pre-recording. Today is, I don't make any secret of that, today's Tuesday, May 10th, 2016, and this is the second show we're recording today. Have you been able to, when we record two shows, you see any pattern? Do you feel like you're on your game more in the first show, let's say, or the second show? Sometimes, is there a fatigue factor, or is there?
I try to be equal with both.
For the same? Well, that's a very good answer.
Yeah, I do. I try.
Yeah, I think the second one tends to be a little bit more, you know, more charged.
Oh, interesting.
I tend to be more motivated for the second one.
Interesting. Well, that's good. Well, then we're expecting big things from you today. It's your second show today. All right, so I have an article here. And the title of the article, and you sent it to me, Sue, is called Take a Bite Out of Dental Bills, Retirees.
Yeah.
Well, you have a large portion of your practice is retirees. What percentage would you say is retirees?
A third, maybe?
I was going to say at least 30%.
Yeah, I think so.
At least 30%.
I think so.
And one of the main reasons is, as a periodontist, the majority of people over age 65, like 70%, have some sort of periodontal problem.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we're living longer and longer.
Yes.
So you know how they say, like, well, 70 is the new 50 or whatever
it is.
Yes,
right.
I sure hope it is.
Me too.
Yeah, you and me both.
But, you know, I see people, and I'm not kidding you, when I used to belong to the gym, I have equipment in the house now, so I don't belong to a gym anymore. But when I belonged to a gym, I used to see these guys in the locker room, and they were in their 70s, and they were in very good shape. They kept themselves. They're big, strong. They were hosses, you know. And people, you know, women today in their 70s and their 80s, and now you see them, and they're still getting all dressed up, and they're putting
great.
On makeup, and they look wonderful.
Yeah.
Their hair looks great.
That's
they
incredible.
Dress stylishly.
That's incredible. I knew this guy. He was probably close to 90, and he was in such good shape.
Mm.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. You know, you see these, cosmetic surgeons and... Mm-hmm. All these skin formulas that you can take, all this stuff. I mean, we all want to look good. We want to look young.
You know? Mm-hmm.
I don't take any of those, by the way. isn't it more common, would you say, Sue, in women, perhaps, than in men?
I think it's more common in men than it ever has been. And I say, if you can do something to make yourself feel better and look better to a point, why not?
Yeah. You know?
Why not?
I was talking to a lady here at the station about men who wear toupees.
Wigs. Oh, well, that, yeah.
Well, no, but the one said I would if I was a guy, you know, and I needed one.
Would?
She said that she
would. Oh, she said that she would.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if I would.
I would not.
I don't know if I would.
You know why?
It seems like maintenance.
Wait a minute.
The glue, you know.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of things have maintenance.
What if it comes off?
All those things. But here's this is the truth. Now, I happen to have a fairly decent head of hair here.
Yeah,
thank
you
God.
Do. We can testify to our listeners.
But if I was bald and you could get a toupee that nobody would know about, that nobody would know that it's a wig, all right? You didn't have the problems with, what'd you say, the wind?
The wind, the glue.
You didn't have those problems. I mean, this is an undetectable toupee. Dr. Edelstein, would you wear it? Now, you have a full head of hair.
I would just shave it off.
You would?
I would.
With that great mane you have there?
Yeah. Do you want to know why?
What's sexy?
Bald is
sexy. Do you want to know why?
Why?
Baldness runs in Amy's family. All the males are bald.
All right. And so Reed doesn't have a chance.
Reed doesn't have a chance.
That's their son, folks.
So Amy, my wife, thinks it's extremely attractive and sexy to be bald.
Well, she has to.
She has to.
She grew up around it.
Her father was bald by the time he was 30. He was balding. And her brother was on the same path. So my family, it would be sexy to be bald.
You know, I heard Neil Bortz say once, I used to work with Neil years ago.
Oh,
he's a
yeah.
great guy to work with. He's a great announcer. But he said, he's bald. He's talked about it a lot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he said that, he says, you ever notice none of the TV anchors are bald, you know? So sometimes, so if a guy is bald, a lot of times they'll notice these things
right.
that you and I might not notice.
Mm-hmm. Right, you know,
so it's like
right.
people who are short, men who are short, boy, they really notice about, you know, height.
Right,
now,
right.
you and I don't because we're normal height, mm-hmm. Doc. But.
Right, so you wouldn't notice. Yeah, I think whatever is your area you battle with. I mean, you know, women could say all the TV announcers are thin. You know, mm-hmm. none of them have hips or a weight problem or cellulite or, you know, that's what we would notice probably.
Believe me, if you watch CNN and Fox like I do and you see the anchors, the women anchors, they're all, you know.
Beautiful.
They're all beautiful. Now, there's a couple of exceptions. You know, so like CNN's got Michaela Pereira in the morning. And she's an attractive woman and I think she does a great job, but she's not thin.
Yeah.
She'd be the first to admit it. She's rather, you know, somewhat portly, you know. And then you get a couple, you know, some of the older ones, you know, Candy Crowley, Barbara mm-hmm. Starr, mm-hmm. who are older, but they can get away with it because they're such great reporters.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that's the way it should be. Let's show diversity and be professional and be neat in appearance and be attractive, no matter what your size or little hair or no hair.
Yeah, but you do a lot
Just
of cosmetic.
Embrace it.
You do a lot of cosmetic dentistry.
We do. We do a tremendous amount of, or we're involved with cosmetic dentists doing cases because we adjust the gum line.
You know, we had a young lady come in here, one of our clients. She works at one of the universities, beautiful young lady, but she's got the gum.
The when gummy she smiles.
And she smiles a lot. That's the thing, too.
Wow.
She smiles a lot, but it's very, very, the top gums, very, very gummy.
Gummy smile people do smile a lot, don't they?
Why?
I know. It seems like they wouldn't, but they do.
We could fix
that. Notice it.
You know, it's like people who have like real discolored teeth, or maybe they're missing teeth. They're very circumspect about smile. That's got to be a terrible shame. You can't smile and you can't laugh because you're worried about what it looks like.
I would think so.
You know?
I would think so.
That gummy smile, is that very common? Do you see it a lot?
Very common.
Because you, this is what you do.
Most of those cases we can fix completely or improve tremendously. Most
and
of
very
the,
easy to
most
have
of
done.
Those cases.
It's not. It's really a decent procedure to get through. It's not.
I mean, people are back to work within one 2 days max.
Yes, absolutely.
Fully functional two days later.
You'd be shocked at
it's
really
one
how
of the
simple
easiest,
it is.
Procedures we do.
Yeah.
With one of the biggest cosmetic
positive upside.
Impact.
Yeah.
Upside. Uh huh.
Is it painful at all?
Not really. I mean, they're like Dr. Olstein said, they're back to work in a day or so. It's not as much as you would think.
All right, so I'm going to ask you this, Dr. Edelstein. I've asked you this before. You happen to be an amateur photographer. You could very well be, by the way, a professional photographer.
Thank
true
you.
Or false?
Oh, true.
So,
yes.
Absolutely true.
His level is.
Thank you so much.
No, you are. You're really. Artist. You're way up there.
Yes.
And I got to believe that this would be like a great second career for you, should you ever want to. Transition, you know.
Well, eventually.
What do they call it? Like an exit strategy? Or
there
whatever.
You go.
Like
yeah.
I don't have no exit strategy because I don't have anything to go to. Can't think of anything I'm good at to go to. But
yeah, but you have the gift of the gab.
Well, tell that to my wife. Will you? She thinks. I'm. But anyway, so this artistic bent that you have, this artistry that you mm-hmm. have as a photographer, does it carry over into your work as a periodontist and cosmetic surgeon?
I think it does.
It does.
I think it does. We take a lot of photographs of our work, and it helps tremendously with communication to the patient, to a doctor if we're working with a doctor. It helps with improving my own skills on a daily or weekly basis. I always strive to. I want every patient to have a beautiful result and have a gorgeous before and after. And I'll do anything I can to achieve that, and part of it is improving what I do.
But isn't some of it? It's just kind of a talent, you know. Is it something you can be taught in school? I mean, it's artistry. It's art, not just science.
You have to have a feel for the art. Yeah, people can learn the science aspect of dentistry, but there is a certain artistic license, I think. The best dentists are the creative, more creative and artistic. I found that over the years.
One thing that Dr. Edelstein brings to his, especially his cosmetic cases, is as the artist, as the photographer, as any artist, really, probably no matter what their medium is, they see the end result already.
Yeah, isn't that
and
nice?
Then they take the steps necessary to get there. They can see it. And so when he approaches a smile that we need to do something cosmetically too, he really already sees it finished.
How long does it take you to see it when somebody sits down in your chair?
It depends. Sometimes instantly, and sometimes I have to analyze it a little bit. But yeah. Sue, I want to mention something. It's interesting you said it like that, because Ansel Adams said the exact same thing about photography, that in order to make a successful photograph, you have to have the endpoint in mind.
See.
And then the tools and the different filters, the films, the different processes become apparent, but you have to have the endpoint in mind.
Right.
So you just said,
you know what to what you know what filter to pick up. You know lens to pick up. You know what that see I didn't know that technically, but having worked with you for as long as I have, that is how he works.
You know, my wife and I had our kitchen redone a little bit more than two years ago. And one of the things that really impressed me about the fellow that came in is a guy named Robert Warren. He came in, and my wife and I were trying to figure out what we wanted to do and all this kind of stuff. We couldn't agree on anything. He came in, and I'm just telling you, within 30 seconds, he said, "Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to tell you what we're going to do.
He saw it.
Yeah, I'm going to move this over here, and we're going to put this from down here up here, and it's going to give you another 5 feet of counter space, among other things." Which counter space is huge.
Yeah.
You know, he had the endpoint in mind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He knew, I'm telling you, within 30 seconds, he took one look at it. He said, I can see what's wrong here, and I can see what you need to do.
Right.
You know?
That's cool.
Yeah, we were all ears. We're like, all right, whatever you think. And the guy did an incredible job.
Oh, that's great.
Robert Warren.
And you're enjoying the kitchen?
Loving it.
That's great.
You know? Yeah. And you know how, like, when you get a new kitchen, like, initially, you know, you want to keep it really pretty and everything, so we don't want to use it. You know
what I mean? It's pretty to use.
Yeah, we'll go out to McDonald's and come home. And
just look at the new kitchen. Looks pretty, doesn't it, honey?
Look at the new kitchen.
Let's go home and look at our new kitchen.
All right, so this article here says, take a bite out of dental bills, retirees. By the way, whoever wrote this article, Sharon Epperson and Katie Young from CNBC, they're very good writers. Like, they use words like, these terms like, we're going to drill down on this.
You know, yeah.
You know, stuff that's kind of apropos to your particular profession. All right. So it says, baby boomers beware. A major retirement expense may be hiding in your mouth.
Yes.
A majority of those age 50 to 64 either believe that or are unsure whether a Medicare health insurance plan will cover routine dental care, according to a recent survey by advocacy group Oral Health America. Wait a minute. Most people 50 to 64 don't really know whether a Medicare plan is going to cover even routine dental care.
Correct.
Well, that's very bad.
Yeah, correct. And it turns out that people retire and they're covered under Medicare or Medicare-related plans, and they are shocked to find out that dentistry is not covered.
Basic dentistry.
From my reading of the article, I remember that they said that one of the problems was that when Medicare was set up 50 years ago, dentistry wasn't in there.
And it still
is. It was a huge mistake.
Yeah, and it still isn't.
And it still isn't 50 years later.
Correct. And only 10% of seniors that retire will even have dental insurance. We call it a dental coupon. That's a whole nother show. We've done other shows about that. But for the most part, your dental bills are self-funded after you retire.
And that may be the time in life when you have the least resources to cover.
Yeah, you don't have working income.
I read something that says that the average couple, I guess, who live like to 90, let's say, which is very common today, very common.
Sure, yeah.
Okay, especially the women, you know. They're going to incur about $250,000 in out-of-pocket medical expense. I got to believe that this is part of it. But that's a lot of money.
Or maybe it's in addition to.
Oh,
I mean, think about it. There's no coverage, but most people are misled to think that there is, or it's wishful thinking to think that there is, or they never checked it out.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality of it is, there's no coverage when they're retired, and we've done a number of things to try to help out. The time in someone's life when they really should provide, you know, seek quality dental services are when they're 50, 60, 50, 55, 60.
Well,
when they are working and when they someone does have an income. I've seen so many people back off their dental purchases, the necessary dental work, because they want to save for retirement, while thinking that when they retire, it'll be covered, and it's not.
Right.
But the time when they should spend and invest really in themselves so they don't have big expenses later is when they're in the 50s.
All right, we have to take a break. I want to ask you this when we come back, because the same article says, Doc, that 40% of retirees say that they haven't been to a dentist in the last year. That's very sad. In a year,
yes,
retirees, 40% of them haven't been to a dentist. And it says, you know, largely because of the fact that there's no insurance for them and they're retired and on fixed income. We're going to talk about that sad state of affairs when we come back. Folks, you're listening to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein, periodontist located on Peachtree Road, 2045 Peachtree Road, right across the street from Piedmont Hospital, next to the Darlington Apartments. Sue, you've been in this town a long time. You said years ago the Darlington Apartments was a very swinging, hip.
Swinger hip place, yeah.
If you don't mind me asking, were you part of that scene?
No, I was a little child then, living in Buffalo, New York. I wasn't even in Atlanta in the 60s and early 70s.
I'll tell you something you told me that makes me believe that. Okay? Huh. And that is, you told me that, like, in the middle of the wintertime, when it's dark really early, I think you said you're in your pajamas, like, at 5:30.
Basically, yeah.
Uh-huh. The, all right, that's not a wild person.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Okay, that is not a wild person. Visit mygumdoc.com, mygumdoc.com. We'll be back with more of Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Edelstein in just a moment.
And now, back to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. You know, I've mentioned this in past shows, Dr. Edelstein, and you're kind of silent when I say this, but I happen to use you not just as my periodontist, because I do have periodontal disease. Okay. Most people in my age category do, statistically.
Well, but we fixed it.
Okay. But I still need to be monitored.
Yes.
But I'm also using you, quite frankly, as my general dentist as well.
That's our plan.
Right. Well, it's not something that you're pushing on me, but that's what I want to do. I want you looking at me every time I go to the dentist. Mm-hmm. So I go to you. And I love the people in your office. Sue, as you know, I'm very fond of, but also, let me name some names. Tina. Mm-hmm. I want to say Megan, but it's Mandy.
Mm-hmm.
Carol.
Mm-hmm.
Sylvia just retired after how many years?
22 years.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Abby, Taylor.
Uh-huh.
I named them. Oh,
you're leaving
Greg.
Out.
Greg.
Yes.
Greg. Greg. Oh, I love Greg.
Our Greg Bob.
Greg Bob.
We call him Greg Bob. He's from the Bahamas, but we gave him a Southern name.
You know my story about Greg. I had my tooth extracted, which needed to be extracted very badly. There's an implant in place of it, by the way.
Yes.
Simplest procedure I ever had done, by the way, Doc.
Awesome.
True.
Yes.
Okay. He showed me the tooth, you know, before he, whatever you do with the teeth that are extracted. I looked at the tooth and I said, goodbye, my friend. We were together for a long time. We had a lot of good times together. You know, did a lot of good eating together.
He let you have a little mini funeral over the
one
tooth,
little,
right?
You know, one last look, you
a
know,
little
before,
visitation.
Before he closed the lid on the coffin.
Awake. Yeah,
you said Kaddish.
Yeah.
And by the way,
go.
When he closed the lid on the coffin, I took a shovel full of dirt. That's a Jewish thing, Sue.
Okay.
It's a Jewish thing. You wouldn't understand.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, I got to believe that working with you for 20 years, Sue's picked up a little bit of the Yiddish
kind. Yeah, I should have assimilated by now.
That's right.
Yeah, you know some Yiddish.
Yeah, I know some Yiddish. Yeah, what do I know?
Oy vey.
Shiksa? Oy vey.
Shiksa.
Is that Yiddish, Shiksa?
Yes.
Schmutzki?
Well, that's good that you've assimilated. You know why?
Right? Is that a word?
Well, schmutz is dirt.
Schmutzig. I can't even say it.
Dirty.
Yeah.
It means dirty.
Yeah, there you go.
But it's good that you say you've assimilated, because usually it's the other way around. It's us assimilating with you guys and going away. You know what I mean?
Seems fun to be Jewish. Why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
Glad to hear that, because there's a lot of bad stuff going on out in the world right now, Doc, right?
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, back to what we were saying. This is an article that says, take a bite out of dental bills, retirees. Baby boomers beware. A major retirement expense may be hiding in your mouth. Oh, I want to mention this. So we have a fellow who does a financial show here named Mike Stark. You happen to know Mike Stark.
Yeah.
He's a great guy.
Mike's a great guy.
Yeah. Wonderful financial plan. Wonderful, you know. But one of the things that he said to me is, well, if you retire and you have $1 million, let's say, he says, you really don't have $1 million. You got about 800,000, maybe 600,000, actually, I think he said. Because you got taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So one way or another, Uncle Sam's going to grab some tax money from you, and you have medical expense. That's not going to be covered by Medicare. You know, people think they turn 65. Hey, I don't have any medical expense anymore. I got Medicare.
Right.
I mean, nothing could be further from the truth. And absolutely, it's especially so with dentistry.
Yeah. There's nothing is covered.
Can you help a person in a situation like that? Let's say, I mean, look, you have to get paid. You have an office to run.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You have expenses. Can you help somebody in the situation?
Well,
I mean, you have...
We have the new patient special, and we will do interest-free financing that the office will pay the interest for up to a year. That can help defer the expense over a year's time.
Helps a lot.
It does help a lot, yes.
Or we'll give them 10% if there's any significant treatment plan that they need. So we really go out of our way to try. And if they need implants, if I have to do 4 implants, I'll charge for 3.
Yeah.
And then give 10% on top of that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there are all kinds of things that we will do to help people. Another thing that we started doing is in order to give them 10%, we'll bundle treatments together that may not qualify to try to help them get 10% off their bill. But really what people could do, rather than avoiding the dentist that this article talks, that as much as 40% of the people will avoid going to the dentist, because that are retired because they're afraid of what they might find out. The opposite is really what they should do. They should go to the dentist. They should seek care, because the sooner the better, and the less expensive it's going to be later on, and the better the quality of their life will be. And, you know, I think it's the Mayo Clinic that did a study, and they said that people that have their teeth on average live 10 years longer.
Isn't that interesting?
Than people that don't have their teeth.
I mean, that's a strong statistic.
Think about it. Rather than eating high-carb, high-sugar foods, they're eating vegetables and fruits and
things health, you can bite into.
Exactly, because they can't chew. So people do live longer if they have their teeth. So the best thing they could do for their quality of their life and their longevity is to take care of their oral condition and seek the dentist.
Mm. It's not once you get healthy, maintaining it does not cost a lot, and it does not take a lot of time, which is what you want when you're retired. Boy. So the answer is really, Medicare will probably never include dental. We'll probably never see that happening. They're looking to cover less, not more.
Right.
So it's probably never going to happen. The answer to that problem is when you're in your 50s and you have working income and the statistics are on your side. When you're in your 50s, 50% of the population has gum disease. Once you've reached the age of 65, then 70% or more of the population has gum disease. So it's not even statistically in your favor to wait. The sooner you get treatment, the easier it is to treat you and to get a long-term stable result that you can afford when you retire and no longer have working income.
Well, I couldn't have said it better myself.
Well put, Sue.
That's the answer.
Yeah, me too.
We're here to be not financial planners, but dental health planners. And that's the way to... It's funny that we ended up doing this show, because I told Dr. Edelstein, I've always said to myself, I'm 53, the dentistry I have in my mouth...
I always wondered how old you are. You're 53?
Yeah, I just disclosed I'm 53.
You don't look it.
All of my dentistry was done 30 years ago. It's time for it to be replaced, and I'm going to have every bit of it updated and replaced before I retire. I don't want to spend the money when I'm retired.
Sort of like, you know, getting new parts.
I need new teeth parts. Yeah, I need some parts. And I don't want to take them in and out.
All right, but like you said, you want to do it now rather than...
I want to do it now. When I have working income, I can plan, I can budget, you know, and we can just start doing this. And then when I retire, I just go 4 times a year and have my teeth cleaned. Mm. Hopefully. I mean, that's what I'm going to aim for.
All right. Now, along the same lines of what you just said, it says in the article here, all right, so it's 40% of retirees say that they haven't been to a dentist in the last year, okay, because of the affordability situation.
Yeah.
And then it also says here, it says, without coverage, they're afraid of what they'll find.
Yeah.
Unquote. You know, that reminds me, it's kind of like I went to a doctor one time for a problem I was having, and the doctor said, well, let's do a CAT scan of your entire torso and just see... Might as well check your entire torso. And I said, no. I said, and he said, why not? And I said, because it's like a car. you start looking under the hood, you're going to find things. Let's just keep it. Let's just stick with what you said is wrong with me. Let's not go looking, hunting for anything else. You know what I'm saying? And I think this is what they're talking about.
A lot of people feel that.
People are worried. You know, they're saying, well, okay, I'm not in terrible pain right now. I know I haven't been to a dentist, and I should be. But I'm worried about what they'll find if I go to one right now, because it could be very pricey.
And if they put it off a few years, they'll find more.
Yeah.
There'll be more things to do.
You know?
It doesn't reverse itself by itself.
You know, a very, very wise person said it's like the crack on a windshield.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Boy, is he wise. What a guy. That crack doesn't get smaller.
No.
By the way, you can fool yourself into thinking that it's not growing. The crack
on your windshield?
Yeah. You know, it's about the same as it was before. Yeah, right.
It's smaller. No, yeah. I don't think so.
Yeah, did you ever have transmission trouble where it starts slipping a little bit? You try to ignore it in the beginning, like, maybe it's just some kind of, I don't know.
Or a squeaky brake?
Anomaly, yeah. It ain't getting
squeaky
better.
Squeaky brakes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's not going to get better without intervention.
That's
yes,
right.
Correct.
All right, we have to take yet another break. And we're going to stay on this subject about basically...
Planning. It's planning.
Planning, covering dental expenses, and doing so between the ages of 50 and 64, according to this article, during that very critical period. Baby boomers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. You're listening to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein, periodontist located at 2045 Peachtree Road, right across the street from Piedmont Hospital. Plenty of free parking there, including your own spaces for your own patients.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to visit mygumdoc.com, folks, mygumdoc.com. We'll be back with more of Open Wide with Sue and Dr. Edelstein in just a moment.
And now back to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. The show is Open Wide. I want to remind our listeners of your new patient special, Dr. Edelstein, $129. That's what I did.
Mm-hmm.
It's worth $650. And I remember when I had it done, Sue, you showed me something on a screen in the room behind the room that I was examined in.
Was it your bacterial side?
Something was swimming around.
It was your bacterial
side. It was awful.
Yeah. It was the bugs in your gums.
It was the terrarium.
The terrarium, we call it. Oh, great. But it's true. You know, it's untreated periodontal diseases. It's sort of like a terrarium with stuff running around.
Yeah, it is.
But you thought it was treated.
I thought it had been treated.
Yeah.
Especially with Arestin.
Yes.
You know, the panacea, the great panacea that, what is it, 1/3 of a millimeter that it's supposed to?
Yeah, that's repeated, if it's repeated 3 times.
I can't even believe that it's statistically significant.
Try to measure 1/3 of a millimeter. That's crazy.
It is statistically significant, but may or may not be clinically significant.
Yeah. Even the statistical significance, it sounds like it's very minute. That's debatable.
That's up for debate.
That's up for debate. By the way, you know, when I mentioned you have free parking there and you validate the parking for us, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's psychological, but it's very important to people. You know what I'm saying? We validate parking for people here. So, you know, they could be spending thousands of dollars with us and then I give them a free validation worth $3 and they're overjoyed.
I agree. That's why we do it.
It's just a very nice thing to do.
Yes.
Look, I've been to plenty of doctors that don't validate. So you're spending thousands of dollars and paying for your parking.
we have a few stories of people walking in from other offices and want us to validate their parking.
The lady that was going to a dermatologist.
Yes. Yeah, that was one.
Yeah. Oh. She was our patient and seeing her dermatologist
chutzpah.
In our building.
Chutzpah, there you go. There's another Yiddish.
I said it, didn't I? Yeah.
Yeah, you don't quite have it down yet, but you need a little more practice.
I could say it Southern. Chutzpah. doesn't sound so good, huh?
You know, Sue looks like she could be Jewish.
She does.
Well, Dr. Edelstein's wife has told me that before, yes.
Yeah, you might be, there might be a little in there
somewhere. Might be something back there. You know, that's okay.
You're from New York.
I'm an equal cultural.
That's right. Well, that's good.
Whatever.
You're a New Yorker, native New Yorker, right?
Huh?
You're a native New Yorker.
From
New York.
Yeah.
All right. So the article says here, so this issue that we're talking about, the fact that the majority of people 50 to 64 don't have a Medicare insurance plan that's going to cover even routine dental care. Okay, so this issue dates back 50 years, it says, to the origination of Medicare, when oral health was not included in the bill. This is according to Beth Truitt, who's the CEO of a company called OHA, Oral Health America. Has dentistry always gotten kind of, it just seems like it's gotten short shrift.
It has.
Well, you know, it's interesting. The first question in dental school that I got wrong, and I think that's what this, that's why this is the case. How many teeth do you need to survive?
Wow.
How many?
I don't know. Maybe none. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe none.
The answer was zero. And I got it wrong. I don't know. I wrote down 10.
I was going to say 20. 10. I was going to say 10.
A nice round number, 20. But in reality, you don't need any to survive. Now, it's interesting that that's kind of changed, because we do know this thing from the Mayo Clinic that people that have their teeth live on average 10 years longer. And we do know that people with periodontal disease are at higher risk, most likely for various systemic conditions, because of the inflammation that is present with periodontal disease. So, and people are at high risk for some pretty serious systemic problems, mm-hmm. like pancreatic cancer and diabetes, and we think maybe Alzheimer's and maybe even arthritis, but definitely diabetes. So we do think that there is risk in people having dental disease and eventually losing their teeth. But classically, it was felt that you didn't need teeth to survive. That's why it wasn't included in the original.
But they tell us to eat plenty of fruits and vegetables. Well, how are you going to eat fruit without a
Well, back then that wasn't thought to be as important, if you think about it. Now it's much more important to have a balanced diet with fruits and vegetables that are high in nutrition. So, you know, it is important, and it is something that probably, like Sue mentioned, will probably never be included in any Medicare policy, and right. It is something that folks really should be more proactive while they're in the workforce and have an income. And Sue, I think you coined a great phrase before. What did you say? Dental retirement planning?
We're dental retirement planning, yeah.
Dental
retirement
That should
planners.
Be another show, Jeff.
Yeah,
a spinoff.
Dental retirement planning.
A spinoff show.
Yeah.
Dental retirement planning.
A spinoff, so it'll be called the Sue Skipper Show.
But I think, you know, you folks can't depend on the government or a third party to take care of them. They have to do it themselves.
Yeah.
I think, too, since we know periodontal disease has so many implications on someone's health, when you're approaching your 60s and 70s, you're vulnerable to these diseases and these entities. So it's becoming key. It's not even really an option. It's becoming key to getting a better dental foundation. Why do we want to spend our retirement dollars on medicine and medical procedures and heart attacks and strokes? Might it be prevented with good dental health in our 50s?
It's imperative to do this. I wonder, though, are people's priorities straight? You know, people spend an awful lot of money on a lot of stuff that's not very...
I know, and that's a whole other show.
Dental health should be way up there near the top.
Oh, I can't tell you how many times I hear that they can't afford it, but they're buying a new BMW.
Yeah, taking a vacation.
Or they're going on a trip.
The cloister, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So people will prioritize things.
But their priorities are somewhat misplaced in many cases.
Some people say they can't afford it, but they have the latest iPhone. I mean, you know, the people really need to take charge of their own destiny, and this is an area where they can do that.
And what's sad, it says 10,000 people retire each day.
Yes.
I know. That's a lot of people retiring.
Every day.
Well, we're watching the baby boomers, you know, retire. They're definitely in this age category. Probably no other group has expendable income like the baby boomers. And it just, from a financial point of view, it makes sense to take care of your dentistry before you retire. But really, from a health point of view, enjoy your retirement. Enjoy it with health and wealth.
And your teeth.
And your teeth.
Yeah. You know, it says here, too, and we'll talk about this when we come back because we're right up against a break here. It says, Medicare doesn't cover most routine dental care, such as cleanings and fillings, and also procedures such as tooth extractions or supplies such as dentures, dental plates, and other dental devices. So when I say dentures, dental plates, I think of older Americans who are the ones who need these the most and utilize these the most. And it looks like Medicare is not going to pay for it. When we come back, I want to ask you, are there any plans that you know of that cover these kinds of expenses in our golden years, as we say?
Okay. All right,
I'm going to ask you that when we come back. Folks, you're listening to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein, periodontist, office located right across the street from Piedmont Hospital. Plenty of free parking there. They're next to the Darlington Apartments, just to give you a fix on where they're located. 2045 Peachtree Road, and visit mygumdoc.com, mygumdoc.com. Back with more Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein when we return.
And now back to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.
This is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. And again, folks, go to mygumdoc.com. You happy with your website? You enjoy it?
Mm-hmm.
You like it?
Yeah,
you feel
yeah,
it's,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got pictures of everybody. You know,
yeah.
Very nice.
And Chancey.
I was just going to ask about Chancey.
The office mascot. He's such a sweet guy.
He's a sweet guy, but you said he doesn't really like being there. Did you say he kind of just quietly sits in your office and doesn't much move around?
He's a people person. Chance is our golden doodle.
You have three dogs.
I do.
I believe.
We have two golden doodles and a boxer.
You know, it's amazing how people love their pets today. Amazing.
They're so sweet, these guys.
Well, I mean, what did you say you have? You have a golden doodle.
Two golden doodles.
So that's a combination of a poodle and a golden retriever?
Yes, and a golden retriever.
Now, what a combination that is.
Yeah.
They're beautiful.
Yeah, and a boxer. Except they have a particular fetish.
But be careful now. This is
it's a G-rated show.
I told you when we started doing the show, no fetishes, but go ahead.
The younger one is about two now. His name is Moses because of his dreadlocks. and we also named him after we went to Israel. So in honor of our trip, we named him Moses.
You call him Moshe?
Mosey. We call him Mosey.
Okay.
So he likes to eat things. So when he was younger, like last year or so, he would eat socks, underwear.
Wow.
He had to have an endoscopy once.
Oh, because he swallowed something.
He swallowed something and it wouldn't pass. They retrieved the sock. He had a...
Wait a minute. They pulled a sock out of his esophagus?
He had to have intestinal surgery because it went too far down. It wasn't in his stomach anymore. So they pulled out, I believe it was a sock and two Swiffers.
Swivers?
Yeah, Swiffers. You know, the head of the dust mop.
Oh, my
it's
goodness.
It's called a Swiffer.
Yeah.
That's a brand name for the...
That's a lot to get down in there.
Uh-huh.
He ate those, and it's not uncommon for him to eat, for him to steal either a roll of toilet paper out of the bathroom or a roll of paper towels. And he'll be on the couch just munching on a roll of paper towels.
So he hasn't really learned his lesson.
I'm afraid not. But then again, he hasn't had an obstruction in over a year. So I'm thinking that he's gravitated more toward fiber, like paper towels and toilet paper.
Excellent.
As opposed to, you know, something that would get stuck. So that's his thing.
Wait a minute. So that's Moses.
That's Moses.
And then there's Chancey.
Chancey's
what's
the name of the other
gold,
Max.
That's the boxer?
Well, Max, the boxer, the Jewish boxer.
Max Baer.
Named after Max Baer.
Wow.
Yes. The Jewish boxer.
Do they all get along?
They do get along great. They play with each other and jump around and they tease each other.
Are there two that are closer to each other, would you say, emotionally or?
Probably than Max the boxer and Moses, they tend to play more together.
Chancey's kind of
Chancey's
odd man out.
Yeah, no, he's like the grandfather in the family, and he'll tell the other two a thing or two, and they kind of leave him alone a little bit. he's a little older.
He's the bigger person, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He tells the other two to straighten out.
Sue, you're a cat person, aren't you?
You have a cat.
You have cats.
Two cats. Uh-huh.
Two cats.
Mm-hmm. I do, Mr. James and Lucy.
You know, it's funny. Do you see differences in cat people than dog people? Or maybe sometimes it's just your living situation.
I love dogs. We were raised with dogs. We were raised with Brittany Spaniels and Beagles. My dad was a bird hunter, an avid hunter. But I live in a condo, and I don't want to have to...
A dog, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, plenty of my neighbors have dogs, and they love them and walk them all the time. I don't want to get up at 6 o'clock and go have to walk.
Some condos don't permit them.
Some, I haven't run into that, but I'm sure there are some that don't permit them, yeah.
How about people bring a dog into a restaurant?
If there's outdoor seating, a lot of them allow that.
Yeah, outdoor, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's fun. I don't have a problem.
I've seen people bring in like a guide dog inside.
Guide dogs, they can go anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, service dogs. Yeah, which is really, really terrific. We, one of the charities that we're fond of is Canine Assistance.
Well, that's a part of your charity at your office.
The charitable giving campaign, yeah. Where, but Sue can tell you about that.
Yeah.
But we think that this canine assistance group, they do incredible things. They train service dogs to help people with various disabilities.
Wow.
And these dogs have become part of their lives, part of their ability to be independent. It's really, really a fabulous organization.
But there are two other charities you're involved in.
There's
three others.
One is Susan B. Coleman. Another is the Cancer Society. And the fourth one is the Zabin Couple Shelter.
Okay.
Where we will donate money from the office. And Sue can...
It's a homeless shelter, but it's for couples.
Yeah. It's the only homeless couple shelter in the city.
Is it the one that's located at the temple?
It is.
That's not too far from your office.
Correct.
All right. So I've got to ask you, if you don't mind me asking. So you have four different charities that you're involved with. Is there one that seems to prevail in the minds of your... Which one is it?
The Pets.
Okay.
Canine Assistance. Number one.
Isn't that something?
Number one charity.
By far.
Yeah. Almost double what we've raised for the others.
You ever see these commercials on TV where they show these mistreated
animals?
Oh, I can't see.
Awful. I can't. I got to turn the station.
But this has nothing to do with mistreated animals.
This is a program that trains.
This is specific to train service dogs to help people live independently.
So if you're thinking about doing some dental financial planning, you know, it's a program that we have in our office. So if any of our patients are listening, they can refer friends and family members. And all that friend or family member has to pay is $50 to a charity, and they will get an exam with x-rays. So it's kind of something we've created for our patients that may want to refer their friends and family. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it amazing, too, that...
And they also get the tax deduction.
Yeah.
Okay, but
everybody wins.
It's also, I mean, and I know you love animals, and all the charities you mentioned, they're all very good charities, and they're all very dear to you. But also from a business standpoint, it makes good sense to get involved with a charity because people love that a portion of the proceeds are going to go to charity.
Well, it feels good. And everybody gets what they need. Everybody gets what they want. It's nice to do and give back.
There's a lot of companies don't give a dime to charity.
No, you're right. You're right.
They want every last nickel for themselves. I think it's great that you do this.
It's a way of giving back.
Oh, that's wonderful. All right, got one last question here for Sue and for you, Dr. Edelstein. So is there any insurance out there? Does some forms of Medicare cover some types of procedures?
No. Medicare doesn't cover anything.
Not even like part, whatever
nothing.
It is?
Mm-mm. Nothing. Nothing.
D?
No.
Nothing.
No.
there are some independent individual policies out there that people can purchase. But if you think about it, who would purchase a dental policy? Someone who needs dentistry or doesn't need dentistry?
Somebody who needs it.
Needs dentistry. It's kind of like someone allowing someone to purchase auto insurance after they get into an accident.
Right.
So these companies aren't stupid. They would be cost prohibitive if they had coverage for someone that needs dentistry for dental insurance.
Yeah.
So there's either waiting periods, 1 to 2 years for a lot of procedures, or the limits are very, very low. They don't cover
always
very much.
The very limits are low. The third thing
is the premiums are very high because the only people looking for dental insurance would be someone that needs dentistry.
It's kind of like getting life insurance when you're 75 years of age.
Yeah.
The premiums ain't going to be cheap.
Right.
Correct.
While you're 75
years of age. So the fact of the matter is there's nothing out there that's cost effective. The best thing is going early, going to a periodontist if there's any risk whatsoever of any gum disease. Or
which statistically there is.
Statistically, to a very large degree.
Or most adults.
Degree.
And doing things earlier rather than later when they're more costly. Or doing things in their, someone to get well in their 50s rather than wait till they have a bill on their hands in their 60s or 70s that they can't afford.
Mm. Great advice. Get it done now, folks.
Yes.
Get it done now while you're working and you have income coming
yes.
in.
Yeah, sure.
A lot easier
yes.
than the alternative. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein, and also Chancey. Hold on a second. Max and Moses.
Moses.
What are the cats' names? Mr.
Lucy and Mr. James. Aww. Let's give the cats a little shout out. Let's not forget the cats.
Meow.
There's a lot of cat people out there.
All right. Visit mygumdoc.com, folks. Mygumdoc.com. And Sue with Dr. Edelstein, as always, appreciate you both, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
This has been Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Specializing in periodontics, implants, and regenerative techniques, Dr. Edelstein's practice is Atlanta's premier periodontal office, where dentistry is both an art and a science. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.